From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, June 22nd, 2018. And on this day, we'll meet a Honduran woman and her 10-year-old daughter who were detained at the border last month and are now in Portland staying with American hosts. And an apology from Shaw's after an incident this week in their Saco store. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
A Honduran woman and her 10-year-old daughter, who were detained at the border last month, are now in Portland. They're seeking asylum in the U.S., and as their case is being considered, they're staying with two young women who volunteered to help them. Patty White has that story.
It was the middle of the afternoon on January 13th when Santa, she asked us not to use her full name, left Honduras. Through an interpreter, Santa says she left to escape violent threats.
Gangs,
they were threatening to kill us. They would send videos saying that they were going to chop us up in pieces and kill us that way. Because they were mad because we voted for the president that they did not want to win.
Santa says she and her daughter boarded a bus and headed toward the U.S. They had no plan and few belongings, just a small bag with identification papers and extra clothes. They stopped at churches along the way for help and waited in Mexico until the end of March to join a caravan of migrants.
And from there, from town to town, we would sleep in the churches or on the sidewalks or with people that wanted to help support the migrants.
They got rides when they could. Otherwise, they walked. It was an exhausting journey, and at times, Santa says she feared for their safety. And as they drew closer to the U.S. border, she worried that officials might take her daughter.
Because with the caravan, in the caravan, people were saying that they were going to take our children away from us.
And
that they could either take our children and we could be deported back.
So they continued north. In early May, 4 months after leaving Honduras, they crossed the border in Tijuana. Santa and her daughter remained together, but she says she saw a woman who was separated from her children.
One was 2 years old and the other one was 5 years old, and she was crying. She said, if I would have known, I wouldn't have thrown myself into all this. And we were there for about 7 days when we left, and she was still there fighting her case. And she was crying. She just kept crying.
As she recounts her experience, Santa starts to cry. After she was detained at the border, she and her daughter were flown to a detention center in Texas, where they waited for an interview about their asylum case.
I was so scared that they were going to say that my case was a negative case because so many other people that had happened to, and they were all crying.
Santa wasn't the only one feeling anxious. Two young women in Portland were also awaiting word on her case.
So we found out that we would be hosting Santa and her daughter a week or so before they had crossed the border.
Meg, who also doesn't want her full name used, says she and her roommate Anna connected with Santa through the national organization Showing Up for Racial Justice. They were looking for people willing to host migrants entering the U.S.
It was like 6 weeks or maybe a month before they got here, and it was just a weird waiting game.
Meg and Anna, who are both 27, had been looking for ways to support migrants and decided to open up their apartment as a place to stay.
Just to be able to show that even if the U.S. government is sending out messages of hatred, that you can't stop the American people from being an open-hearted and welcoming and taking people in.
After Santa arrived at the detention center in Texas, she called Meg from time to time, seeking assistance to buy food and medicine for her daughter. Within a few weeks, Meg got a text from Immigration and Customs Enforcement that said Santa and her daughter were being released and needed transportation to Maine. Meg bought them plane tickets from money raised from friends and local churches. They arrived in late May.
I just thought, you know, God has given them a lot of love in order for them to receive us.
Santa and her daughter were found to have what's called credible fear about returning to Honduras. That means they can stay in the U.S. while they wait for their asylum case to be heard.
This is like the safest place that I could be. You know, I don't feel threatened. I'm not scared. I can go out on the street and walk on the street. I'm not afraid that somebody's going to come up and kill me with a knife. You know, it's a very safe place to be.
Meg says she and Anna will host Santa and her daughter for as long as they need and are currently trying to find an attorney to take their asylum case. Though she faces an uncertain future, Santa recalls a dream her daughter had while at the detention center.
She had dreamt that everything was going to be, that turn out okay. And then when all of this came true, she was very happy because her dream came true.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Shaw's grocery store executives are apologizing to an African-American man after an incident this week in their Saco store. As Willis writer Arnold reports, the man believes he was singled out because of his race.
Rory Ferreras says his experience at Shaw's this week has him questioning how he fits into the state he calls home.
I'm not new to this community. I'm not someone who rabble-rouses in this community. I love where I live. I love my neighbors. I love Maine.
According to Ferreira, a musician who runs Soul Folks Records in Biddeford, he was purchasing groceries and some alcohol with his wife and child in tow when a clerk asked the couple for their IDs. Ferreira and his wife have both shopped at the store regularly, and Ferreira says never have they both been asked to present ID for similar purchases. While his wife went outside to retrieve hers from the car, he asked to see a manager to make sure he understood the policy. Ferreira says he wanted to make sure it was being applied to all customers equally.
I did say, look, I'm not trying to be rude. We're just a young black family in America, and I want to make sure we're being treated the same as everyone else. That is the only reason I asked to talk to anyone about this policy, and it's not to throw a fork in your day.
Ferreira and his family left the store. Shortly after they arrived home, a police officer showed up to issue a notice of no trespassing at Shaw's. The rapper says that scared him.
So when you call the police on me and have them at my house for asking about a policy because you don't like me, I have to wonder what you wanted to have happen to me.
For Ferreira, it suggested there was more at stake than a bag of groceries and some alcohol.
And I feel like it's my duty to make sure that the police in this place know, Shaw's knows, other corporations know, etc., that black folks ain't scared of them.
By Wednesday morning, after the story was shared on social media, Ferreira and his family were meeting Shaw's vice president of retail operations. Ken Rinaldi apologized for the incident, and the no trespassing notice was dropped. But the store manager, identified only as Bethany, refused to apologize or even meet with Ferreira. He says it's not just an apology he's looking for.
I said, I just need my neighbor, Bethany, to come in and admit a fault. I just need her to be like, look, I got hot-headed. I'm not used to people like you, whatever. And I was, whatever, I reacted poorly, whatever, whatever. But you're welcome back here, sir, and I'm sorry. No, that's all I needed.
Ferreira has reached out to the ACLU of Maine and is now considering possible legal action. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Willis Ryder Arnold.
And Shaw says it is conducting an internal investigation into the matter. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, June 22nd, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.